Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to draw this fleeting breath. When my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne. Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me
and we're tossed to and fro. There is peace beneath that foam.
My hope
is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. There is no other fountain so sweet. He has washed away my sins, gave me peace and joy within. My hope is anchored in his blood,
his precious blood. Only one thing will matter when the time shall come to die.
The treasures of this world won't mean a thing, but the joy of knowing Jesus will vanish all my fears, for he took away death's sting.
My hope
is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. There is no other fountain so sweet. He has washed away my sins, gave me peace and joy within. My hope is anchored in his blood,
his precious blood.
Hallelujah! The Lord is coming back. I want to give a few insights of what's going on in the world today. There was a Facebook prayer page on Facebook with 77 million. And they were praying for Israel since this thing started in Israel. 77 million it reached. People praying for Israel. And guess what, old Zuckerberg, I would like to call him by his real name, but I'll call him Zuckerberg. And he shut down that page. So this is what social media is doing for those who call upon God. So don't expect any help from them until God destroys them all. And then they'll get theirs. And we have a third outbreak of the coronavirus. It's so terrible they have to ship the patients to Ontario. Why don't they ship them here to Steinbeck Hospital? It's empty. Or are they afraid there's going to be people there with cameras showing nobody's there like they once did? Remember the CBC? They said Steinbeck was crowded with COVID patients. People went there with cameras. Nothing. That's about how it is now. Nobody's there. Nobody's sick. They're just putting out a fear thing to stop people, to destroy people. They don't care what people think of them. They don't care what people are going through, as long as they can push their agenda. So what's going to happen? God is going to have to take care of it. We know that for a fact. God is going to take care of it. Jesus is about fed up with all this stuff. Remember Herod when he tried to stop the apostles from preaching the gospel? Well, Herod was eaten by worms, and I have a feeling something similar is going to start happening to the government people of this earth. God is going to have to step in. It's because we're not in the day of judgment yet. We're not in the one world government yet. It's not time. And until that time comes, God is going to push back every feeble attempt they make to try to stop the church from calling out to God. Why are the churches locked down? It's because that's the only power they're afraid of. They're not afraid of Walmart or Costco. They're afraid of the churches. That's why they changed the lock on some churches. That's why the police are so busy arresting preachers. It's because they're afraid of those who are in touch with God. They hate God. That's why they are doing these things. We can see it all around. I heard another interesting thing on Fox News, given a Tucker Carlson was interviewing a guy who had seen something horrifying. Dr. Fauci is involved. This is the famous so-called Dr. Fauci. I call him a devil, a demon from hell. He is involved in this organization that are using fetuses to try to attach baby heads to mice to see what they'll be able to produce. If the devil isn't involved with this, then you need a brain transplant. That's all I can say if you can't figure that one out. They're out to steal, kill, and to destroy. So God wants us to be on the alert, knowing what they're up to. It's not nice. The devil is out to kill you. He does not take prisoners. He destroys. And if we don't fight back, we will be destroyed. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The satanic realm uses natural weapons to destroy God's people. What are the natural weapons? Sicknesses, diseases, all sorts of scare tactics. whereas God people to fight him should use the spiritual realm. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual darkness in high places. We use the spirit realm to fight the demonic realm, to stop them. And we're far more powerful than they are. If only the church would know about this. But the problem is, many pastors in the pulpits don't have a clue who God is. They don't have a clue who Jesus is. They don't have a clue who called them into the pulpits. They were chosen by some, maybe putting a name in the hat and drawing out. That's how some religious organization who call themselves Christians get to have preachers. They're not called of God. They're hirelings. They're not even hirelings. They're just there to steal, kill, and to destroy, and to make money. So we need to understand these things. God is going to do an incredible work yet on this earth. And we are going to see it. So today I want to teach on an interesting subject. Is it joy or fear that's dominating you? One of the two is dominating you. If you're afraid of the coronavirus, you're dominated by fear. If you wear a mask willingly in your car, out on the street or wherever, and you're a Christian, you're dominated by fear. The love of God is not in you. You don't know God. You need to get to know him. So I will teach on this subject, but before I get into it, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you for the love of God, the kindness of God. Lord, you will help us to understand so that we can be walking in victory instead of fear. I thank you that you will anoint this message and bless the listener. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Fear or joy? If I would live in fear, I would already be dead. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is why I'm not worried about coronavirus. This is why I'm not worried about dying. This is why I'm not worried about getting sick or even going broke or any of those things. It's because my hope is in God. He is my sustainer. People have asked me, have you bought any of those bonds for, how do you call them? Where, you buy something for the future. RRSPs. No, I haven't. Why not, you'll say? Why don't you buy RRSPs? In the future, you'll need them. Well, the God who supplies me with food today will be there in the future. And he'll be there after me. Remember the children of Israel? They didn't have to worry a thing. They had food every day. And this is how God wants us to see him. He will take care of us. I'm not against buying our recipes, but don't put all your eggs into one basket and believe that. Believe in God. He'll take care of you. Don't stock up for the future too much, because the future could be very different from what we see now. So, are you in fear? Job was in fear. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. When you study the book of Job, it took a lot to bring Job out of that fear. Listen to what it says. For the things that I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me. He was afraid. What was he afraid of? He was afraid his kids are going to blaspheme God, and God is going to withdraw somehow his blessings. And that's exactly what happened. He was afraid of it. Instead of trusting God, he would do what? Here's what it says in Job chapter 1 in verse 5. And it was so that the day of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all,
For Job said, it might be that my sons have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. When I see that, I see a fear. We need to do something. We need to protect ourselves. We need to stand in the gap instead of seeking God on the situation. I would have told God, if my sons turn against you, then hit them with a whip. I'm not going to go sacrifice for them. I'm going to ask God to deal with them. And then God is free to deal with them. Never mind keeping them locked in your prayer circle. I know one lady who said to her son, if you do this, I'm going to stop praying for you. And within 2 months, he came crawling back to his mom. Please, mom, pray for me. This is what mothers and fathers should do. They should have tough love. Leave your children to God. Job would continuously offer up prayer. He would continuously say, Lord, protect my sons and daughters. He would continually bring sacrifices. And then Satan saw the fear. And guess what he said? We got to try this one. Yes, he made it through. But the joy of the Lord wasn't in Job. He said, I cursed the day I die. I was born. I cursed the womb that was open, that opened to give me life. That wasn't joy in the Lord. That was being dominated by fear and Satan. Then finally God opened Job's eyes. Job saw God's goodness. He saw the power of God. And then he said this, Job 42 in verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye see thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's the problem with many, many Christians. They have heard about God, but they don't see God. They have asked Jesus into their hearts, but there is no relationship with Jesus. And that's where fear comes from. That's where depression comes from. That's where all the problems come from, because there is no reliance and trust in what God can do for you. God will keep you. Since I have become a Christian, I've gone through trials and tribulations. I remember the worst trials I've had, being separated from my own people, being driven from my own home with my wife and kids, but at the same time being high in the Holy Ghost and shouting hallelujah as they were persecuting me. This is not a lie. That's the truth. I experienced it, and there's quite a few that experienced that. In the middle of persecution, the joy of the Lord being your strength. That's what should happen to the Christian when he turns to Jesus for salvation. Let's look at Abraham. There was a drought in the land. Abraham was afraid. If he would have done like Isaac and stayed, dug wells, God would have supplied his need. But he was afraid. What did he do? He boogied off to Egypt. There he got into trouble, and there he picked up Hagar, and after that his house was never the same again. There was turmoil, there was problems, there was persecution, and I'm not against the Arab people, but you can still see the fruit of the fear of Abraham today. Are you going to have fear, or are you going to have joy in the middle of your persecution, in the middle of your trials? It's your choice. And that choice comes from you having a relationship with Jesus, trusting in him. I knew the end times are closing in. And I've often wondered, how will people act when these things begin to start happening? My biggest surprise was the church. Anyways, those who call themselves the church. The fear, the total hypocrisy, the complete
laying down. We got to do what they tell us to do. I couldn't believe that. But I'm seeing it. And God has to do something to change that fear in our hearts. It'll have to happen like in the day of Pentecost. The disciples were cowering in a room, in an upper room. They had seen Jesus die. They had seen him going to heaven, and they were waiting for instructions. But then the Holy Ghost came, and they turned from cowards into lions, and they went out on the streets and changed the world. This is what will have to happen to us. We desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit. The time for planting and seeding is over. It's time for the harvest, and God has to pour out the latter rains. That's where we're heading for. It better come quickly, or else something horrible is going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Hallelujah, that's a good one. Pray without ceasing. How can you pray without ceasing? Learn to pray in tongues. Many of you are against speaking in tongues. There are those of you who are listening that have been taught speaking in tongues is of the devil. The one who told you that speaking in tongues is of the devil is of the devil. That's what I have come to. He does not know his scripture and he's against scripture. So pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. The prophets are being pushed aside these days. People are making fun of them. And guess what? That's why they can't see what's coming on ahead. They don't believe the prophets. And they don't believe the prophecy of the Bible. The latter rain is coming. We're going to experience it. It says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Don't flirt with evil. It's going to get a hold of you one way or another. I've experienced it myself. If you flirt with it, it grabs you. And then you have to repent. It takes time, sometimes take time to get rid of it. And then the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You will be peaceful in your heart, knowing that everything is all right. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, and he also will do it. He is faithful. He is our God. In him we trust, we hope. He is faithful to us. We may fail him, but he will never fail us. And if we operate in fear, we're binding his hands. He cannot not operate through a vehicle that is full of fear. We need to be bold as lions. We need to speak out. We cannot cower behind a mask and say, whatever the government says, we're going to do it. No, if the Apostle Paul would have said that, we wouldn't have to, the epistles of Paul. If Peter would have said that, we wouldn't have his epistles. If the Lord Jesus Christ would have been afraid, we would not be saved. It takes guts. It takes boldness to do the work of the Lord. If you want to be somebody that is useful to God, you need to have boldness. You need to get rid of fear. And then God is going to be able to use you. Because fear will destroy you. What is fear? Fear is a demon that is hounding everybody. I've been with fear. I have seen where I was in fear to the point I was paralyzed. I was lying in bed, totally paralyzed in fear. What was the antidote? I knew what was happening. I knew it was a demon. I called out the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the most powerful in the universe. And guess what? The fear demon had to leave.
And today I'm rejoicing in it. If he comes again, he'll get the same medicine, even worse. Are we afraid of demons? Can you cast out a devil without being afraid or anxious? If you do that, if you're anxious, if you're afraid, then you do not walk in boldness. A demon will know if you're afraid. You need to be bold as a lion when you come up against the demonic forces. They respect force. They respect boldness. They're afraid of anybody who calls upon God, who calls upon Jesus. But if you want to be like Job, if you want to be like Abraham, yes, they were good, godly people, but God shows us a time in their life when fear dominated them. And guess what happened? The trouble that they had was immense. So do you want to have fear or do you want to have joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Hallelujah. Strong, strength, boldness. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the armor of God. Know that you're saved. Know that God is with you. Satan can't touch you. If I go into battle, I'll give you a pretty good explanation. If I go into battle in a tank, an Abraham's tank, and there's only foot soldiers with, let's say, 22s or AK-47s, I can wipe them all out. They would not touch me. That's how God placed me in a cocoon. Satan cannot touch me. He may even be able to kill my life, but he cannot touch me because I'm under his protection. Hallelujah. I'm going to exist forever. And I might as well decide right now that I'm going to follow God and be full of joy and never mind be fearful, because my future is great. My incredible outlook on life, it brings me joy. The goodness of God has been implanted into me. I know who this God is because I've studied the book. Start reading the book and God will open your eyes and your heart to the truth who God really is. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against demons." Demons in North America, all types of medical names. There's cancer, there's sugar diabetes, there's fear. There's pornography. There's a lot of stuff out there. Who in Africa they call demons, but here we have nice names for them so that we can encourage one another. Don't worry about it. There is a medical cure for you. No, there isn't. There is no medical cure for fear. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This might sound a lot, but when you come against them in the name of Jesus, they're nothing, because they cower before that name. They hate this God. That's why they're shutting down the churches, because they hate the God that is worshipped in those churches. Mr. Rusin hates God. This is why he's shutting down the churches, and God will have to take care of him. One of these days, we will see it. I'm prophesying it, but we will see it. God will show it to us. "Wherefore, take you on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, just stand there, knowing who you are, knowing that God is in control, and he, Satan, cannot touch us." The armor of God is simple, knowing who you are in Christ. You don't try and put on the helmet of salvation, or put on your shoes, or put on this, or put on that. It should be on you all the time. Never mind when only the battle begins, I'll get dressed. No, you should be dressed in the power of the Holy Spirit all the time so that Satan cannot hit you at any time. This is what the Bible teaches. Because we have a foe that never sleeps. But we also have a God that keeps watch and is always there to protect us. And he has given us the choice to either be powerful or be defeated, to either walk in victory or to give up, to walk in fear or to walk in boldness. We got the choice. The choice is yours. If you know God, if you're an unbeliever, well, then you don't have any choice. You bow to fear. I know there are some of you that may not be afraid, but you still have no chance if you haven't got God. So turn to this great God, for he loves you. He wants us to come to him, for he's the only antidote. If we think what we're facing now is horrifying, the eternal lake of fire is by far worse. This is a picnic here that we're going through. The eternal lake of fire is going to be forever and ever. There's not going to be any escape. There is going to be utter and total hopelessness. Have you ever thought what it means to be hopeless? Not having any hope? If you're sick, you hope one day you'll be well. If somebody dies, you know in a while, in a few short days or years, you're going to get used to it. There's hope at some future point. But in hell, in the lake of fire, you know you're going to be there for the rest of eternity. There is no hope. And for the Christian, I got this one last scripture here that is for talking about today and not talking about the sweet by and by. It's talking about today. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. I studied this and I said, Lord, that scripture is for me because that's my nature. I love what you're writing here and I'm going to take advantage of it. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them that have nothing. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, enjoy life. Have a good time. Rejoice in what God gives you. Enjoy the sweet, enjoy the fat. Enjoy whatever he has given you. For this is holy. You're holy unto your God. God deems you holy and pure if you have the blood of Jesus on you. So enjoy life. Don't be ruled by fear. Don't let self-condemnation bring you down. Jesus loves you, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you have the joy of the Lord, you got it made. If you don't have him, I would encourage you today, look for it, because it will change your life. How do you find the joy of the Lord? First, you turn to him for salvation. His salvation is sweet. He gives it to you for free. It cost him a lot, but to us it's free. Once you have salvation, then find out who God is. One thing I found out in my walk with God, which amazes me immensely, God is good. He is a good God. He wants the best for everyone, for this earth, for everything. He wants goodness to completely envelop this earth. When I think of God being good, I cannot really imagine my good fortune to serve a God that is good. It's almost unbelievable that a God that is so good would reach down to us and say, come on to me, all you that are laboring and are heavily laden. I'm a good God. I want you to enjoy the rest of eternity. I want you to start enjoying it now. Eat the sweet, eat the fat, enjoy life. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. I have a good name for him. His name is Good God. Hallelujah. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.